All right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right. If it's your first time here, my name's Tim. Good to meet you. We hope to see you again. But here's what we're talking about. Can any of you remember as a kid growing up, like the anticipation of Christmas presents? You know what I'm talking about? Like as a kid, there's just something different about Christmas. There's something special about the holiday. There's this anticipation of Christmas Day, opening presents. I found it interesting. I was thinking about over the years, the different presents I got over the years. And there's ones that I really remembered. And like I still like some of the toys I got, I wish I still had. They'd probably be worth a lot of money now, you know, that kind of thing. Even though it's still, I grew up in the 80s, 90s, it's all plastic, you know, it's all plastic junk. Those of you who grew up when it's all metal toys back in the day, those are like so valuable right now. So if you get one of those for Christmas, don't give it to a kid, all right? So I remember all these different Christmas fads. Now we're gonna a little test. We're gonna see who all's old in here, all right, and who all's young, all right? Because I'm gonna little test, a little quiz here on Christmas gift fads throughout the years, okay? We're gonna start in the 70s. Okay, everybody ready? Anybody remember the 70s? Some people, all right. Those of you who are really young, you're gonna realize there was weird things happening in the 70s, okay? Because the Christmas fad that started in 1975, what do you think it was, the Christmas present fad? Pet rock, you're right, it was the pet rock. You see that? That was a thing. What? There was a lot of drugs in the 70s, I think, right? It's like, y'all were like, I don't know what you were tripping on, but the rock's talking to me, man. Like, y'all needed some help, right? And then you got into the late 70s and Atari. Anybody remember Atari? Oh, Pitfall. The dude ran, looked like he had pantyhose on when he was running, right? Like, oh, man, video games. Yeah, the Atari. Don't show it yet. Okay, what about the early 80s, 1983? Would you have a guess what the present was in 1983? Man, yeah, Cabbage Patch Kids. Even the cover of Newsweek, what a doll. The Cabbage Patch craze marketing for Christmas. Like bonkers. Everybody had to have a Cabbage Patch Kid. Even like boys had Cabbage Patch Kids. Like it was like, didn't matter. That was like a big deal back in the early 80s, right? Then we move on to the 90s, 1996, which was the year I graduated high school. That's so 1996, it was Tickle Me Elmo. You guys remember the Tickle Me Elmo? People died trying to get the Tickle Me Elmo on Black Friday, y'all. People be crazy. Like, it's nuts, okay? So if you want to go see some creepy videos, people stripped all the Elmo stuff off, and it's just this robot inside. It's like death is coming. It's like it's hilarious. Then 1998, a little bit later, somebody already said it in the 98. What do you think it was? Furby. All right, you're right, man. This is the Furbies. Another creepy creature. Like, what? Humanity is weird. That's all I have to say. With all these fads, these Christmas fads, they are just very, very, very weird. That wasn't 2000. That was 1998 was Furbies, all right? 2009 was not that long ago. Anybody remember what it was for 2009? I'll tell you what it was. It was Zuzu Pets. Did anybody have any Zuzu Pets? It's basically a robot hamster that is there to drive you crazy. Like, that was what a Zuzu Pet was. Okay? If you don't know what they were, you missed it in 2009. Sorry. It was a big deal for 1 year, and then it just disappeared. I mean, people were paying ridiculous money for all these things, you know? Like, they were paying lots and lots of money. Like, a Tickle Me Elmo was going for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars because they had to have it. And I'm like, really? You know? There's all these Christmas fads. There was 1 year, probably the best Christmas present you can ever give somebody, was this thing called the Billy Big Mouth Bass. Do you guys remember this thing? Oh, yeah. Some of you are like, yeah. That was a bit, you push the button, singing and dancing. Now, somebody went all out crazy. They bought hundreds of these. They programmed them themselves, put them on a wall inside of a business in Chicago, and they choreographed it. Watch this. This is nuts what they did with these. Choreography right there. Epic right there. So that's somebody's nightmare right there, right? Like, Somebody programmed, I think, I forget what it said on the online, it's like 30 songs or something you can play as you're walking up the stairs at that building. So Christmas fads, right? They come and they go. It's like the big thing and then it's not the big thing. But no matter what, if that was the year and you really wanted that, when it showed up on Christmas, were you not happy? Was there not this like, oh, I got it, ah, whatever that thing was for you? There's this insane joy that comes out in those moments. And that's what we're talking about today. I just wanted to define joy real quick. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure or happiness, right? Who wants some joy? Raise a hand, right? Like, who wants some joy? Like, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. This is settledness of like, yeah, this is awesome. Enjoyment, pleasure, being happy in that moment. And the thing is with joy, when you get a present, it's momentary, right? Because now that person could go buy hundreds of those, right? And they were in somebody's basement and not touched for a long, long, long time. And so the thing that brings joy later on is, whatever. And so we're not talking about temporary joy this morning at Christmas time. We want to talk about something deeper, something more potent, more powerful, because this is, we're talking about Christian joy. Christian joy that we're going to talk about in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can pull out your Bibles. This is, we're actually jumping into the Christmas story this morning, okay? Last week we kind of did a little side tangent when we talked about contentment, but today we are just digging right into it in Luke chapter 2, starting verse 8. And we'll get there in just a minute. See, John, I like this definition from John Piper. He says this: Christian joy is not an act of willpower. Like, we think sometimes as a Christian, I just have to have joy. I'm told to have joy and rejoice. And like, we go through stuff, it's like, I don't really feel it, so it's like, I'm going to will it to come. Just joy. You know? And it doesn't pop out like that, right? Joy just doesn't, like, woo, just show up. But he says this: but it is a spontaneous, emotional, authentic response of the heart. It is not superficial and flimsy, but it is deep and it is firm. This is the type of joy I'm talking about. This deep, firm joy that we can have as Christians. Even in the middle of hustle and bustle, even in the middle of maybe difficult seasons and times we're in, we are, and I would say the people around the world are on the hunt for joy. Like, we're all looking for it, and we're all trying to get it one way or another, especially this time of year. People are trying to get it one way or another, whether it's, okay, I know this is busy now, but we're going to do that one thing, and I know I'm going to feel happy and pleased in that one thing. And then, but that thing's going to end, and then it's going to be like, I just got to deal with this, and I got to deal with these people that I have to be around, and then, but I'm looking forward to that thing. And so our joy kind of peaks and valleys, doesn't it? That's not the type of joy. We're talking this deep-seated joy. It's something that everybody is hunting for, and they're trying to find the map for it, right? Has anybody ever been to a mall and not known where the store is that you wanted to get to inside that mall? Yeah. Our family got to go to Columbus just for a couple of days over Thanksgiving, and it was Black Friday, and we decided that we were going to go eat at our favorite restaurant, Cheesecake Factory, which happened to be inside the mall, okay? And so we got to kill some time. Let's go into the mall. And Nikki had a goal. She's like, I got to get to the other end of the mall to get something. And so she, like, it was like a race. Like, vroom, vroom, zoom in and out, all sorts of people finally get all the way over there. And the boys wanted to go to this place called GameStop. Anybody like GameStop? All right, so we got GameStop, and they're like, this is the only reason we're here, Dad. And do we even have to be here, Dad? Like, what are we doing here, Dad? Like, and so I'm like, I'm going to find GameStop. And so I think I know where it is because I looked on the map on my phone to find out where all the stores are. And I go to where I think the store is, and it's not. It's like some other store. And I'm like, we're not looking for women's clothing. We're looking for GameStop. And so finally we go to this kiosk, this great big digital screen, you know, and it's got the map of the mall. And I'm scrolling through, and I'm trying to find GameStop. And I finally find it, and I click on it. And when I click on it, I'm like, oh, it's way back where we started. Oh, didn't that suck when you're like, we were right next to it? And so I'm thinking, okay, now I know where I'm going to go find it. I know where it is. Did we find it, guys? No. Okay, so like, well, we went back where I thought it was and where I thought the map said it was, and still no GameStop. And so I exit the mall to go see if it's a store outside, and it's not. So I'm freezing, and I come back in, and I'm like, I don't know where it's at. So we go back to a kiosk, find out, oh, it's on the second floor of where we were, and then it was just right above us, and that by that time, we had to get to the restaurant. Has anybody ever been frustrated like that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And it's Black Friday, y'all. Like, it's people everywhere, and people are crazy. And especially, you get into Christmas brain fog, you just have to watch out for people, especially when you're driving this time of year. You just got to watch out. People are just, It's like tunnel vision of like, where am I going next? And they're not even like paying any attention to what's going on. And it happens to all of us, okay? I'm not blaming anybody for anything. Like, it just happens to all of us. But that's the way some people in this season are trying to find joy, and that's what they're on. They're trying to find the map. How do I get to it? How do I find joy? And how do I get there? And how do I get there? And where is it on the map? I'm trying to find it. When the reality is, when we're trying to find it as Christians, we don't realize something. You know, when you're looking at a map at that kiosk and it says you are here. We need to understand as Christians, wherever we are, joy is already there. Okay? So write this down. Fill in the blank. Joy is already here. You don't have to go find it on a map. You don't have to go hunt for it in this certain experience. You don't have to, like, it is already here. And that's what we're talking about in this Christmas story. We're already going to see and understand that joy is here. It's already here. Okay? Why is it here? Because of what we're going to read in Luke chapter 2. This whole idea of joy is all over the Christmas story when you read it in the Gospels. Especially in Luke 2, like, you see joy all over. You see the angels, they proclaim joy. You see Elizabeth, right, and Zechariah, joy. They're going to have a son. They didn't know they're going to have a son. They're going to have Elijah. They're going to have John the Baptist, who is like prophecy, all sorts of stuff. So John the Baptist, right? They're going to have John. And they're like full of joy of what gift they've been given, right? Joy is all wrapped around that. And then it says whenever Mary shows up, she's already pregnant with Jesus, shows up to Elizabeth, the babies jump for joy. Like, there's something going on with joy in this whole story. Mary writes a whole song about it. Like, she's full of it and it's just bursting out of her. The shepherds get the great news. The wise men show up. Joy is all over this story. And yet we get to this season, and for a lot of us, it doesn't feel that way. Right? It just gets busy. It just gets, it gets noisy. And maybe even those emotions you suppressed all year long, you no longer are able to suppress them because you're busy. Right? We get to the point where it's like, I've been holding that one in good and tight. It's been nice not dealing with it. And then all of a sudden, there's a crack in it. And then I'm crying and I don't know why. Has that ever happened to anybody? That's been our household the last like month. It's been like, it's just coming out. We're trying to find joy, but joy is already here. Let's look in the story, okay? Let's hop into it in Luke chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2, this is a very awesome picture, and I'm so grateful we get all these little glimpses in the story, right? All these little relational touch points that are happening in the midst of this. And then we get to the birth announcement, you know? Birth announcements today are nutso, like what they do for birth announcements. When we were, like, our birth announcement was a phone call to the parents, like, they're here, or like, we're pregnant. You know, it wasn't like a reveal and balloons and colors and like, and some of you do that, I'm not saying anything bad about anything, all right? So don't email me. I'm just saying, like, it's like, when we think about birth announcements, though, in Luke chapter 2, this was the ultimate birth announcement, y'all. I don't think any of us have had our kids' angels show up and go, oh, glory. Like, it doesn't, you know, some of you are like, certainly not my kid. That was not a glory. Like, we're still praying over that one. He's, you know, like, I'll stop talking. So Luke chapter 2, I'm going to get in trouble. We see the great birth announcement. To not the religious leaders of the time, not to those who were important in church, you know, not to the pastors, the leaders, the priests, it wasn't to the rich and wealthy, it wasn't to any of those. The great birth announcement was honestly to the one of the lowest groups in society, the shepherds. See, the shepherds were not wealthy. The shepherds actually did not own their sheep. They were there to tend the sheep for the rich owners. They were just hired hands. But their job was to make sure that those sheep were taken care of, were healthy, were protected, were all sorts of things, right? And we see this image of these dirty, stinky shepherds. I mean, they sleep in the fields, and they're half awake, half asleep all night long. And then they go out, and they take the sheep out to here, and sheep out to... Have you ever been around sheep? They stink. Like, right? You got to take care of them. They get dirty, and they don't care. They just, you know, that's... And so this is what you have. These shepherds are just out there doing their thing on a night. And we see this happening in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read this out loud. Okay, so here we go. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And, something about to change, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. You better believe it, right? Like, this isn't usual. This isn't our normal out in the field stuff with, like, all of a sudden, oh, you know, like brightness and glory. And like, guys, they didn't have like Discovery Channel. They didn't have shows about UFOs, okay? So they're not thinking like, oh, I'm getting abducted. Like, they were like, God is here. An angel of the Lord is present. And I know I would be just as scared as they were in that moment. And so the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of what? Of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So that's a pretty big announcement. Hey, shepherds, I know you guys aren't the priests. You haven't been studying the old prophecies and all that kind of stuff, but they probably have heard about these prophecies of some Messiah coming someday, and they're the first ones to hear the news. Right there, I'd have been, that's all I needed. Like, where are we going? We're finding this dude. Okay, we're going there, and he's going to be in a manger. That's unusual. I don't know if they thought right away, a manger? Like, why aren't they in the inn, you know? But it didn't stop there. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army. I love the way the NASB says it. So often, we, especially at Christmas, we get this picture of angels. And it's always a female with a harp. Oh, you know, this kind of thing. Like, in all of Scripture, that's not a biblical view of an angel. That's a cultural view of an angel. Like, a biblical angel is masculine. That's what we always see it as a male figure, and is strong. An army. You hear that? A heavenly army shows up. And this heavenly army isn't there to attack. They're there to rejoice. They're there to, like, celebrate and to proclaim in the choir of a heavenly host, this is happening, y'all. We've been waiting. You've been waiting. We're all waiting. It's happening. Oh, right? Like, you aren't into this as I am. All right, so, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, and the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And these are words of promise. And on earth, peace among people with whom he is pleased. There's all sorts of good stuff in this announcement, y'all. And when we think about our hustle and bustle season, so often we miss the simplicity of what just got announced. We make it so complex. And I want us to just come back as Christ followers and come back to the simplicity of the good news and the announcement that happened in this moment. We go back to verse 10. There were three things that were spoke of in there. Oh, I'm not done yet. And when the angels had departed from them into heaven, that would have been another freaky sign, right? Now they're just like, pew, you know, they're gone. The shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I mean, they knew what was going on, and they're like, the Lord, capital L, the God, the heavenly host, the one that the angels are worshiping, has let us know. So let's go. Let's call Uber. Let's hop in and let's go, right? And so they go. This announcement is so powerful for us today because it says they're going to bring good news of great joy for all the people. This was a new message, guys, because previously for them, the news wasn't for all people. The news was for the Jews. They're the ones that could go to the temple. They're the ones that could go worship their God. They're the ones that could read the Torah and understand the law and do all of those things. The Gentiles, which just meant anybody who was not Jewish, they weren't allowed. They were unclean. They were not God's people. And so this news now is a completely new story. A new covenant was coming. A new relationship with God and people was about to begin. And it came in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus. And so he says, I've got good news. Who could use some good news today? Amen? Good news. We want good news. Good news that brings, everybody say it with me, great joy. Who wants some good news and great joy?
I do.
Okay, thank you, Todd. Nobody else. You and me. It's you and me, brother. All right. And it's for all the people. See, the reason he came to the shepherds is to put an exclamation point on the good news, great joy. Oh, yeah, it's for you. This isn't for all the religious leaders who've been waiting and kind of hoping, because their picture of what they want isn't right. Most of the Jews were looking for a king to show up to rule politically so that they could rule over Rome. That's what they were hoping for. That's who they thought their Savior was going to be. But that's not what the Old Testament said. That's not what the book of Isaiah said. That's not what all the prophecy said. But that's who they wanted. So often we want the Savior to be what we want. But no, he is who he is. So he says, no, I'm coming to you, shepherds, because this is for you and it's for all people. And really, it's an even you, shepherds, the lowest. Because their testimony in court wouldn't even be recorded. So why would they go to them? Because God wasn't worried about human court. He was worried about mankind. This is good news. Good news, that the word gospel means good news. This is the gospel. This is God's news. It's good news for us. Great joy. What is the great joy? Well, it's that the presence of God is here. That salvation has come. That this event was bringing a permanent joy maker into the world. Not temporary, not conditional, not situational. Joy has now entered into this world in a way like it had never done before for everyone, not just religious and perfect. And this fulfills the promise that God had made to Abraham a long time ago. One of the promises to Abraham in the Old Testament was all peoples will be blessed through you. And now it's being fulfilled in this moment. All peoples are now blessed through the lineage of Abraham, of David, to Jesus. And we all get to experience it. Isn't this good news, y'all?
Amen.
Isn't it good to be reminded sometimes in the middle of this busyness, in the busy season, in the consumerism, in the shopping, in the card writing, in the toys, the gifts, in the cookies, in the, oh, I got to go on a diet in January because of this, and the, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff. It's like, no. See, for all the people, let's go way back in the Old Testament, okay? If you want to turn there with me, you can in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, okay? Because all this of what we just read was foretold 700 years before it happened. 700 years. There were prophecies about the Messiah showing up, who he was going to be, when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen. All the circumstances around it, like all of these prophecies were fulfilled in this one person, Jesus. It's crazy to think about this picture, because imagine if somebody in, what's 700 years ago from now, like 1300s? If somebody wrote a book about you in the 1300s and prophesied all that you were going to do, and you found it after you had done all those things, would your mind not be blown? That's what the prophecies in the Old Testament were. Written 700 years in the book of Isaiah before Jesus ever showed up, and it spoke to everything Jesus did. He was already preparing everybody of this good news that was coming. So in Isaiah chapter 9, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2, this is the prophecy. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Why do you think the angel showed up with a great light? Because light just came into the world. God's glory has shone in a new way. Keep reading, verse 3. You have enlarged the nation, talking about God, and increased their joy. They rejoice. Again, rejoicing is the action of joy, right? Before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Like this joy that has come from God to all the people has like caused them to rejoice upon rejoice. Joy has entered into this great, great story. And then down in verse 6, and you've heard this because this is the same prophecy. Why has all this happened? Why has this light come? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son, God's son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is God. This is what he has done for us. The fulfillment in Luke was written in Isaiah 700 years earlier. For unto you and me a child has been born, our Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Savior that we all need. So if we live with that as Christians, we can choose joy no matter the season we get into, right? So point number one, okay? And I'm going to get into just the nuts and bolts of this, okay? This is not a long sermon, by the way. I thought I'd get an amen. Joy is positional, not conditional. Joy is positional, not conditional. We live as if it's the opposite, correct? So often we live life as joy is conditional, not positional. Joy is based upon the conditions I'm in currently. What situation am I in? Where am I in life? Am I satisfied with what's going on? Am I in a good season? Okay, cool, then I'll have joy, right? And so we wait for the conditions to be right to then let joy just rule in our hearts and to reign and to live. But that's not what we see in Christ. Christ came, that means joy has already come, and joy because we have the good news of great joy of the salvation we've already experienced that was for all people. That's you and me. Anybody messed up here? Oh, man, we got a bunch of liars in the house. I'm just going to stop preaching right now. All right. Can I get real with y'all? I was wrestling yesterday. I've been wrestling a lot, actually, the last couple of weeks. And this has been kind of an exhausting season in the Broughton household. And we just are pushing through stuff, and we're just, you know, getting through healing of our boys, you know, from the accident they had and pushing into stuff, just as Nikki and I and our family and things, like looking into the new year. This is a lot that's happening, and we're just trying to just get through. I don't know if you've ever been in that season. I'm just trying to, just one day at a time. What do I have tomorrow? I don't know. It's not 9 o'clock yet today. At 9 o'clock today, I'll tell you what might be happening tomorrow, okay? And that's just how we've been living. And in the last 2 days, I'm like, I knew I was preaching on joy, and I wasn't feeling it. So the preacher's supposed to get up and tell you to be full of joy, and the preacher's like, I ain't feeling it. This is me just being real with you. And I'm like, God, help me with this. And yesterday, I was just down. It was an ugly day to begin with. You know, those of you online that live somewhere else, good for you, but we live in Ohio, and it's like, winter in Ohio is just different now, you know? And it was just gray and cloudy and rainy, and I felt like God helped me understand. If for me to really understand joy, I do need to understand my propensity to sin. There's something inside of me that just is always a little bit selfish. That I'm just, you know, maybe you can relate with that. Like, I know that, like, I can be stupid. And I know that I can have stinking thinking about things. And I know that I can wrestle with stuff that just causes sinful thoughts or even sinful behaviors. And I'm like, dang it. I know I'm better than that. I know not to wrestle with those things. And like, that was yesterday. I was just like bummed, just frustrated. And I woke up this morning like, okay, I got to preach about joy. I'm like, God, what are you trying to teach me? And I felt like I needed to truly understand my sin so I could truly understand the joy of salvation. That sometimes we just gloss over and think, no, I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. I don't really do a whole lot of bad things. There's people worse than me and blah, blah, blah. Well, if I'm okay, then I don't even need God, right? Like if I think I'm pretty good and I got things figured out and I know what I'm doing on this Christian thing or whatever, I lose the fact that I am absolutely dependent upon God just to live and breathe every day. And so when I'm thinking about this wrestling point of like joy is positional, not conditional, I had to look at the condition of my own heart and say, my joy can't be based off of conditions because I know the condition of my heart all the time. It's not right. I can deceive myself all the time. My joy comes from the fact that I'm saved. that I'm covered by his grace, that a Savior has shown up to forgive me now and forever. Even in my stupidity that comes and the stupid things I think or do or whatever, it's like even then that helps me come back to joy because now I understand, oh God, thank you for saving me. The Messiah has shown up. He's already entered in. He's already present. So joy is already here. And so I need to live into it. Even when I struggle, even when I wrestle, my joy is based upon the position I have with Christ and the eternal blessings attached to that salvation. It is not based upon anything I will go up or down in this life. I'm settled in my salvation. And that is the resting place of foundation for joy for any of us. It is positional. Joy is positional in our relationship with Christ. That he has said, I forgive you. Oh, I saw that, Tim. And you asked me, I already forgive you for that one. My position in salvation didn't change. And it reminds me of why I should be full of joy. Salvation has come. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me, and thank you for leading me. It's when I understand it's positional with Christ that I can live into 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I think it's up here. This is Paul talking, and last week we talked about Paul and contentment. Remember, Paul said he learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. He can do this through Christ who gives him strength. Remember that passage? Like, Paul has gone through all sorts of stuff, and he says this. He says, rejoice.
Always.
Rejoice. The action of joy in your heart. Bring it out. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Like, that prayer thing shouldn't stop. And give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. Remember how I said a few series ago, we talked about finding God's will. I love it when he just tells us what it is. like this one is it. Just write this one down and do it. Just rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. Just do that every day. And you'll understand and live in the joy you've already received because of the gift of salvation that God has already given you, right? Joy is positional, not conditional. I love what Billy Sunday is. He was an old evangelist in the late 1800s. He said this about Christians. He said, if you have no joy, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. It's like, oh, a grumpy Christian is a contradiction. If you live as a bitter person, I'm going to tell you, your bitterness is ruling over Jesus. And you now have put an idol in your heart and your life over the one that's supposed to bring joy over in your life. We choose to say, no, I accept and receive and live into the gift of salvation because joy is already here in the house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I still got more. Here we go. So at Christmas time, and you've heard me make this point. Oh, it's even up here. Take a picture. Click. All right. Somebody's like, no, I want to write that down. All right. There you go. Take a picture. Real quick, grab your phones. If you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Billy is, if you research Billy Sunday, he was a preacher. I mean, he just brought it back in the day. He was an evangelist, and he was not afraid of calling sin out and all sorts of stuff. But anyways, he calls us out on that one. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. Okay? It's not conditional, it's positional. In our position with Christ, and joy is not the absence of trouble. We think that's what joy is. Joy is when things are going good, when things are going my way, when things are like, yeah, okay, things are grooving here. My cookies came out just nice, right? And my cards got sent out on time, and the presents are already wrapped under the tree, and my family hasn't like yelled at each other yet. Man, okay, we got joy at Christmas. Woo! You know, like we think it's conditional. We think it's like, no, that's not it. Joy is not the absence of trouble because you will go through trouble. Not even just a Christian. You're going to go through trouble. We all will go through trouble. Broken, sinful world we live in. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all a sinner, sinner, sinner. Here, everywhere, sinner. There, all right. There's sinners everywhere. And so our brokenness spills out on each other. And when it spills out, we experience trouble. So joy is not the absence of trouble. No, joy is the presence of Jesus. That's what the angels proclaimed. Great news that brings great joy. To all the people. Why? Because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Now, this is hard, and I know we get into Christmas, and for some people, Christmas is no fun at all, because this time of year reminds you of all the losses you've experienced. It might be a loss of a family member, a spouse, a child, a friend, and there's a kind of a dark thing that happens. There's a loss and a depression and a mourning, and those are real feelings and emotions. And it's okay to go through those. I would encourage you to go through those with somebody. Somebody who can help you walk through those in a healthy and beneficial way. We experience loss. We experience relational hurts. That's why we did the whole forgiving series before the holidays, because we got to learn how to do that stuff. We go through stress. We go through letdowns. But when we go through those things, I want you to add something to the end of your sentence. And this is what it is. You can even say this, all of this is so daggum hard, but God. We will go through hard things, but God. He's doing something in us. He's already done something for us, and he wants to do something in us. The world says that joy comes out of an overflow of emotions, but Scripture tells us joy is a true disposition of the Christian heart. It doesn't come because of things are great. Joy can even come out of difficult seasons and situations. It's not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of Jesus that we can say, this hurts, and this is hard, and this is difficult, but God, he's here, he's with me, he's already saved me, he's already walking beside me. He is feeling what I'm feeling. He loves me. When you butt God a difficult situation, joy starts to become the fruit that comes out, right? I know I can still experience joy even in the middle of difficult things because I believe in the presence of Jesus. Its root inside of us is an attitude of gratitude. We talked about it last week. We're thankful for God's presence. Even though it's hard, I know God, and I can thank him for something today that he's going to lead me out of. We can choose joy even in the midst of struggles. Now, I want to give you some hope. I want to be very careful. If you're wrestling and struggling with deep hurts, there is a tendency for us to blame God. And it's okay to ask the why God question. Sometimes he'll give you an answer, sometimes he won't. A lot of times you won't get an answer. But when we flip the script and we stop pointing fingers and trying to punch heaven, and we really deal with the emotions that are real inside of us, somebody who loves us, you can get to the other side and still choose joy. And I'm not saying it's easy, okay? And that's why I want to be careful with the words that I'm saying right now. It's not like just do it. You know, that's not how it works. Like, but you can be led into it, and you can let God shepherd your heart through it. And that's a part of also why you need to belong to a church family. Because family doesn't let family hurt alone. We walk with you, beside you. Sometimes you need carried. We have people who will carry you through and help you walk through to the other side, giving you glimpses of Jesus in the midst of the difficulty. So I want to give you hope that anything that we go through on this earth is truly temporary. The only thing that is eternal is God himself, and he's invited us to be eternally with him if we accept Christ as our Savior. And that's where my hope and joy comes from. my position in heaven is secure. Why? We have come to bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior. But God, and he has already done it. So we can choose joy in the midst of seasons, whether they're great or difficult, whether it's a peak or it's a valley. Let's choose joy, Christ followers. Let's let that be the thing that leaks out of us. When we're walking around and other people are going nuts and bonkers and crazy, let joy be the thing that spills out on them. So where did you get that? Oh, I got it at the mall. It's $14.99. No! I got it from heaven, y'all. His name's Jesus, and he saved me. And I'm secure in my salvation because of that great news that brought me great joy. God, I pray that you would lead us in this season. We're talking about why the hustle and bustle, that you'd lead us out of the hustle and bustle, out of the busy and crazy and the things that we just kind of get caught up in. But that you would lead us closer and deeper into our relationship with you, that we wouldn't be afraid to even dig into some of the difficult things so that we can find joy and say, but God, in the midst of those circumstances. And even if they're not hard circumstances, that we wouldn't be distracted because the enemy's brilliant at distracting us. He's brilliant at like throwing things at us and even oppressing us in different ways. And we pray against all those in the name of Jesus Christ. You've already had victory over the enemy. You've already crushed the serpent's head. It's already done. So help us walk in that victory and choose joy in that victory. I want us to just take a moment in this kind of spirit, this attitude that we're in of response, and just let God speak to you. He probably already has been, but let me just ask you a couple of questions. Is there something in your life this season that is overwhelming you? Is there something that's kind of burdening you, or something that feels heavy, and it feels like it's stealing your joy? What can you do today to butt God that thing? What can you do today to say thank you to God, even in that circumstances that you're in? It would be good for you to do that today, even right now. To say, God, I know I'm in this, but thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for bringing me to a place like this. Thank you for, there's lots of things we can say thank you for. For all of us in the room, the challenge is this: choose the presence of Jesus this Christmas and let joy set up residence in your heart. And a good prayer to do this season is just ask God. Ask him. Ask God to fill you with joy and wonder. And see what he does. Ask him to fill you with joy and wonder and see what he shows you that maybe you didn't see before. Ask him to fill you with joy and wonder so that you can turn and praise him just like the angels did. If you don't know Christ yet, then I'll tell you, you don't know this kind of joy yet. You're still kind of hopping from one thing to the next to find it. And I'm telling you, it's only found in Christ. It's only found in salvation. If you need that today, you can enter into that relationship. You can start that relationship with God today. And you can invite that kind of joy into your life, and you can say, I do believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I do believe that he was born of a virgin, that he grew, he died on a cross, and that he rose again. And through him, I can be saved. You can proclaim that with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and accept that gift of salvation, and it can be yours today. So I'm going to pray, and you can pray right now, and you can just invite him into your life. And I always say, no magic prayer of the pastor, y'all. This doesn't work if it's just you repeating something. This has got to be your prayer to God. And if you want that today, here, online, wherever you're at, let's just all pray and invite God into this season. And for you, you might need to invite him into your life today. So would you guys pray with me? And you can pray this if you want to start. Then you say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus
to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from that and turn to you. So forgive me of all my sins. I give you my life. Give me my heart. Enter in and give me your peace and your salvation. I want to be yours now and forever. And I just ask this in Christ's name alone, I pray. Amen. And God, all of us in this room, fill us with your peace. Fill us with your presence, with your joy, with the wonder that comes with what the angels proclaimed. God, I want to be like the shepherds in just awe and say, man, let me see that every day. Let me see the presence of God in my life every day. Let me understand the salvation I've been given every day. Let me wake up knowing I'm in your presence and joy is already here. So just help me do that this week, God. Help all of us do that this week. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Remember I said amen?
Amen.
Amen.